Welcome to the Shame-Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame-Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
This is the Shame-Free Zone, and I am Veronica Monet, your host. Tonight, we've already created quite a bit of a buzz here on Facebook. So if you aren't my Facebook friend yet, you should be. It's Veronica Monet, just like the name says. No tricks there. You can find me very easily. If you have any trouble at all, just drop me a line at veronica@veronicamonet.com. You're also going to be invited to call in live tonight, but I'll give you that number in a few minutes. The topic that has got everybody all a Twitter, forgive the pun, is love yourself out loud. Now, my guest tonight is Catherine Strong. Catherine Strong is the owner and creator of Love Yourself Out Loud, and her mission is to support women. And I'm hoping we can include men and transgenders in that tonight. But anyway, to support women in empowering themselves to experience unconditional self-love and to become fully self-expressed. I know for a lot of us that may sound like a bit of a stretch. You know, I think we all try to do things to take care of ourselves, but somewhere along the line, we've got those voices in the back of our heads. They're very critical, limiting, and especially I think when it comes to our bodies. So we're going to be talking about bodies tonight and how you can feel good about yours. And Catherine has been on what she calls a two-part journey towards learning how to love herself out loud. It included self-realization, self-acceptance, and, of course, self-love. And this is how Catherine describes herself. She says at age 58, she is bold, blonde, sassy woman who truly loves every part of herself out loud. And then she adds at the end, even with the braces. And I have to tell you, I've met her in person. I actually took a one-day seminar from Jack Canfield about 3 weeks ago. And I could not help but notice this woman because of the way she moves. Everything about her says she loves herself. So although you can't see her tonight, I'm going to be posting her website, and we'll announce that over the air as well. And you can go over and see a picture of her. But I think the most important thing about Catherine really is just the fact that she walks her talk, literally. So, Catherine, welcome to the Shame-Free Zone.
Wow. Well, thank you, Veronica. It's fun to be here with you tonight.
Well, I feel very privileged. I think I'm actually de-virginizing you tonight, aren't I? This is your first time on the air?
Yes, you're turning me out, baby.
Yeah, well, I'm just honored.
Somebody's got to do it.
Honored to be doing that. You know, we're pretty gentle with our guests here in the Shame-Free Zone. So I've been looking over your notes, and, you know, the first thing I want to do is check in with the folks here on Facebook because they have had a lot of comments, and I think, you know, if we just start reading a couple of those, that it's going to help you answer the questions that, you know, that they've got, and also to kind of tell us what that, you know, how you dealt with it, what it meant to you.
Sounds great.
I had posed this question: what part of your body do you have the most trouble loving? What tips can you share with others about how to love your body better? And we have a Melissa Siebold who says it was her skin, then her nose, then her aging buttocks, and now it's her gray hairs. Sometimes all at once. Mm-hmm. So what advice would you, I think, you know, Melissa, by the way, if you happen to be listening right now, I think a lot of women kind of do that, you know, they go from one body part to another and we'll start to like feel like, oh, I finally got that one perfected and I feel good about that. And then another one seems like it's not good enough. So how do you experience that while you're loving yourself out loud, or what's your antidote for that?
Well, I think if it isn't always something, we'd be bored, first of all, is my take on it. And but I'm like that too. I lost weight really quickly. I lost 20 pounds last year and my round butt that looked like an apple just fell. And someone I work around, she goes, what happened to your butt? It used to be an apple. Now it's just a peach. Anyway, so...
Well, shame on her.
I know. No, but I
sounds
I,
like somebody was a little bit jealous, you know?
Whatever. First of all, Melissa, the gray hair, just go get it colored, whatever color you want to be. You want to be on fire, get your hair red. You want to be a blonde, get it blonde, whatever. That's easy. But the thing that I do is that I just look in the mirror and I go, you know, I would really like to have, right now I'm working on my my butt to get it lifted. I'm 58, hello. It takes a little bit more to lift this thing than it used to. And
now, what are you doing to lift your butt? Are you taking Pilates or what?
Well, a few things. I do a little bit of yoga, but my husband just got me a Brazilian butt lift video, so I'm going to start doing that. But I do deadlifts are really great for that, and squats and lunges. And I do them, try to do them every other day. I do a workout called the Peaceful Warrior Workout, which is really toning my arms because it includes push-ups. Plus, I do weightlifting. But I look in the mirror, and I just use it all as feedback. And I go, I want this changed. Well, let's find an exercise. Let's find, you know, what's the solution for it? Let's find it and start doing it.
And right, but I think the thing that
was... on yourself.
Yeah, I think the thing that would, you know, because there's lots of exercise and diet programs out there, some of them work, some of them don't, and I think the hardest thing for a lot of people is, you know, staying motivated. But you actually have a four-step program to loving yourself out loud, and one of the things that you mentioned is basically that if you find some part of your body that you're not appreciating, that you learn how to work with it instead of against it.
That's right.
Now, can you explain that? What do you mean by working with it instead of against it?
Well, I used to work against my body. There was a point in my life where I wouldn't even want to look in the mirror because I hated how I looked. I wouldn't even want my husband to barely touch me. And I hated how I looked. I used to cover myself up with frumpy clothes. And, you know, that's called hating your body, and that's working against it. This is the temple of your soul. Your body is the temple of your soul. And what I learned to do over the years, and recently just in the past year, is, you know what? I love you, inner Sai. You know, you are going to go on a journey with me. Will you go on a journey with me? A little exercise journey together, because look what you do for my body. Look how you support me. And I want to make you even more toned so you can even do better. You are so important to me. I love you, inner Sai. You know, and your inner Sai will start working with you, and you'll be more inspired to work with it. But I really honor my body as the temple of my soul. I'm going, you know, if you work against your body, you're making it wrong and judging it and just not loving it, you know, how can it support you in any way? How can it give you what you desire?
So I think this is a really a pivotal part of your program. I really do, because I think what a lot of women do, myself included, you know, we spend time in front of the mirror. We may see some things that we like about what we see in the mirror, but all too often our eyes are drawn to the things that we're dissatisfied with. And then, you know, it seems that we'll often use kind of derogatory conversations with ourselves in order to motivate ourselves to get busy and change. You know, it's like, well, how am I going to, you know, forego that dessert or get on that, you know, jogging program if I sit here and say, well, you don't look bad. So it's almost like, you know, we feel like we have to say things like, oh, you're disgusting, and, you know, kind of humiliate ourselves.
Yeah, I've been there, done that, and I stopped doing that. And my four-step, is I call it a four-step self-healing process. And you have to start somewhere, and the first place to start is noticing those thoughts you have. I mean, how can you possibly manifest a beautiful anything that you want when you're speaking to yourself like that? And the other part of it is, where that speaking comes from is because, and why it's there is because you have some desire, which is something you want that's at a high, let's just say, for the sake of lack of a better way to say it, a higher vibration from where you're operating now. So it's something beyond where you are now that you want. You have a desire to have the hottest inner thigh you've ever seen, whatever it is. And something from your past conditioning that you have thought for so long that has come become a belief is out of alignment with that desire that you have. An example of that is, I've always wanted to be sexy. I've always wanted to be beautiful. It was like a volcano just wanting to erupt within me. And I had a belief that that being beautiful and being sexy was immoral. It was like, first of all, I could never be it. And if you were that, you were a whore or something. I had fear, doubt, worry, a lot of stress about it. And so I didn't let that part come out of myself. And that's what the self-healing is about. The first step of the self-healing process was for me to just notice my thoughts and know, now where did that come from? Came from when I was a kid. That's how I was conditioned. I heard from my parents, my parents, I'll say, and from people around me, you know, about sex, you know, conditioning about how sex was wrong, sex was bad. If you look sexy, you're a bad person.
Right.
And so I suppressed that in myself. And that if I was beautiful, if I let myself be sexy, beautiful, and fully self-expressed, other people wouldn't like me, they'd reject me, all kinds of stuff like that. But the first thing is to start noticing, wow, what am I really thinking about myself? There are lots of ways I felt like I didn't deserve, whether it's to be beautiful, to have money, to be successful, to have a great relationship, whatever it is, it's because of your past conditioning. And I say, who you are now is like a new computer, but your programming is from 20 years ago. You wouldn't put old programs like that into a new computer, would you?
Right, exactly.
Time to update our programming, that's all.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what do you think happens when a man or a woman, anybody, says these horrible things about themselves, especially about their body, in order to try to motivate themselves to do something like work out or diet.
That doesn't motivate yourself. It's called the law of attraction. You, whatever you're focusing on, you're going to create.
Okay.
My goodness. It's like wanting to do something, but working against yourself to do it. There's, you know, it's making it hard, it's making it frustrating, and it's making it virtually impossible. And
okay,
it's not a fun process that way.
No, I don't think a lot of people are having fun. I think they almost feel like they have to be tortured.
It's time to have fun, people. I want to tell you, Veronica, I get up every day, and the first thing I do is I put on music. And sometimes I put on dance music. Sometimes I put on prayer music. But I put on music every day. Whenever I get a chance, whenever I'm not working, I'm up moving around, moving my body. I'm looking in the mirror. I'm getting in touch with myself all the time, because to me, how I'm feeling is that's the indicator of if there's something there that needs to be healed. If I'm if I'm happy, that's great. If I'm not happy, if I'm not feeling well or good about myself or good about what's going on in any way, that's an indicator that I have something from the past that's in my way. Does that make sense?
Well, certainly. What if those negative feelings come up while you're dancing? Do you dance them away or something? Or?
Absolutely. It's okay. That's like saying if you stood up really tall and stretch your arms up in the air and put a big smile on your face, I think it's pretty hard to think negative things when your physiology is in that kind of a state. Your physiology puts you in the state. Think about when you have a negative feeling and emotion. Is it your physiology different? Don't you look down, your shoulders are shrugged, probably barely get up and move. Movement is the life force. It keeps you in touch with what's going on, and just it gets you into feeling better. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Now, I'm going to read another comment here. We've got Joe Equality Legal. She says, I don't have a problem loving my body. I know, don't know if it's just my asexuality speaking, but I've believed excessive grooming and obsessing to be a mating ritual. Sexual people are competitive. Any new fad that comes along, diet, hair product, makeup, penis enhancement, Viagra, the Abrol, etc., that gives them the illusion of an advantage is grabbed. I've never seen distaste for one's body as a personal thing. I've seen it as upset at the idea of losing the competition. Yes, there are health reasons for augmentation. The main reason I have heard for augmenting is I'm going to be hot, a.k.a. more sexually pleasing, a.k.a. better equipped to win. So what do you think about that? Do you think that when people buy into the idea of being physically appealing or beautiful, however we define that word, that they are, in fact, just trying to win and compete and be better than other people?
I think that it's different for everybody, but no matter what people do, whether it's negative or positive, everybody is just trying to feel better. And I know for me, it wasn't about being competitive. It was about, I have never my whole life, up until this past year, I'm not kidding you, I have never felt comfortable in my body. I had kind of a pear-shaped body, and my hips were always much bigger than my breasts, and I never felt comfortable. I never felt that I was in my body. I don't know if that makes any sense, unless you've experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, you know, what, Joel is her name? I think that
Joe.
She, pardon me?
Joe.
I think what she described is maybe how she sees it. I think it's different for everybody, and I think, again, I was trying to feel better about myself. And it wasn't about competing. It was about, for me, it wasn't about competing with anyone else except myself.
You know, it's interesting because I know for myself, I have always really loved makeup and high heels. Mm. Two things that I really enjoy, and I actually I kind of end up having something of a meditation when I put my makeup on. I feel like a painter, you know, who's just, it's art to me. It's art. Mm-hmm. And when I put on a pair of high heels, it transforms the way that I move.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and I feel like I'm more like dancing than walking.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting because people would always perceive that as that I dressed up that way for them or for a particular occasion, and I would think actually I did it because I like the way it makes me feel.
Yeah, yeah. Now see, when I put high heels on, I feel like a big klutz. and I think they're really sexy, but I don't wear high heels.
Yeah, well, and everybody's different.
Exactly. That's
everybody's different. Yeah, I'm only 5'4", so I love wearing a pair of high heels. I really do. Always have, but I walk very easily in them. So, I've had lots of practice.
But that's my whole point, is that it's different for everyone, and it doesn't mean it's all about competition.
Yeah.
I think people are trying to feel better.
I think you're right on about that. And the fact that everybody's different, some people probably are competing and putting on for other people. It certainly sounds to me that it's it even has Darwin on its side, that particular argument. But, you know, it just completely ignores the fact that some people do these things for themselves and would do it if they were at home alone, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, when I first got I had some surgery done. I had a breast augmentation. I had a mini tummy tuck. And I was in my early 50s. And I was working out with a personal trainer. I was doing everything I could to lose weight. And once you get into the menopausal stages, it's harder. I just got to tell you, it is really harder. And I had a girlfriend who really inspired me to, because she got liposuction and a breast augmentation, and she just felt great about herself, and she was my role model. She gave me permission to take that step and do it because my husband was so against it. And that was really one of the steps in my processes, too, was to have the courage to do what I wanted to do for me and just step up and do it whether my husband agreed with it or not.
Mm-hmm.
But it but it was about me. It was completely about me just feeling better with me. And my what I learned the first 2 years after my surgery is that I maintained it really well. Then I started to feel self-doubt again. I started to feel like, oh, it was fake, or and I didn't have it. What I had done wasn't extreme. People couldn't even tell. They just said, wow, you have a nice figure. They couldn't even tell I had anything done. But I started to feel like it was, you know, because I hadn't worked on my inner self, my conditioning from the past. So that started to creep in again, and I started to sabotage it. So, mm-hmm. It's like I had to, so I started the process all over. I mean, you can work on the outside, but if you don't take care of the past conditioning and work on who you're being and what this is about for you, about anything that you do, that your past conditioning is going to run your life in that way. So I just wanted to share that part with you. It came up for me during this part of the conversation.
No, and I think that's a really important thing that often happens when people go get, you know, their stomach stapled or get a liposuction or whatever. It doesn't address maybe the fact that they are eating in order to, for comfort, mm-hmm. or possibly as a food, part of a food addiction or an avoidance pattern. I mean, there's a lot of deep psychological issues that people need to be aware of too that mm-hmm. play into how we feel about the way we look.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And certainly you can start to think, oh yeah, I'm gonna make some progress here. And I've had lots of friends who've had procedures done and then, you know, it just disappears overnight because they didn't really change themselves on the inside.
Yep. Yeah.
Let's see. We've got another Melanie Hawiya says suntan sessions. That's how she makes herself feel better about her body. And another comment from Melissa Siebold. She said, I tend to nitpick myself, but overall no one else seems to have the issues with me that I do.
Of course.
Yes. And then Becky Barnes says, I seldom have issues with my body anymore because I accept me as I am. I do occasionally have problems with my belly, but that's something beyond my control, so it's a fleeting issue.
Mm.
And I think that's great that she accepts herself as she is.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say you probably, I don't know, what would you say to somebody who says that her belly is beyond her control?
I'm not sure what she means by that. I mean, I want to ask her further what she means by that. I think your belly, I mean, I had, my belly was beyond my control too. That's why I had a mini tummy tuck.
Right.
And so there was a way to take care of that. And
well, how do you feel about women who want to just accept the way their bodies are without necessarily getting a procedure?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, because some people feel pretty strongly that procedures are pressuring women to look like, you know, a picture as opposed to a human being, and that, you know, we're not allowed to have any stretch marks or sags or flaps from even, you know, giving birth and living our lives.
Yeah, it's taken me quite a while to, you know, accept my stretch marks and my flaws and my wrinkles and all that, and I accept them now and I put them out there full force. But
so there's kind of something.
There's no answer. Everybody has to make up their own mind about having a procedure. And if she loves herself the way her tummy is, and whoever loves themselves, that's the whole point. Is it that you love yourself the way you are?
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point.
And I think in your case, you're not shy about admitting that you've had certain procedures, but at the same time, there's certain procedures you would never have. Like, I think Botox is one of them.
Yeah, I just don't want to put poison in my body.
Right.
You know,
right.
And that's botulism. And I've also, I don't like the way I see how people look. They don't have any self-expression on their face anymore. You know, their eyes open like they're excited about something, but their forehead and face doesn't move, and it's like, I don't want that. And I'm 58. I have those smile wrinkles, and, you know, I like them. And at some point I might have, you know, a little neck lift, or I might have a facelift at some point. I don't know. I'm not going to make a decision about that now.
Right.
But but I like some of my wrinkles.
So. Oh, I like that. You like some of your wrinkles.
Yeah, my smile wrinkles and even the ones on my neck. And, you know, I got, you know, my butt has some wrinkles on it. You know, because it's fallen a little bit, and even though I'm working on it. But, you know, and as far as Melanie getting her suntans and everything, that helps so the wrinkles don't show up so much, too, having a suntan. But, you know, I think the whole point is, you know, it's taken me a lot of time, I had, and self-talk and nurturing myself to make it okay. Hey, you know what? I have these stretch marks, and when I stand this way in my swimsuit, people are going to see them, and so what? You know, I'm not going to stay inside all the time. I'm not going to have any fun and live my life. I just made a decision that I'm okay, you know, and I'm not perfect, and bodies aren't supposed to be perfect. And when I was a little girl, I remember looking at fashion magazines and, like, catalogs all the time, and that's how I expected myself to look. And you know what? I don't buy magazines anymore. I was at the grocery store today. There's all these magazines up there, and I just turned my back on them. I don't even want to see them.
Well, now explain that.
Because just what I just said, they influence. It's like my husband and I turned off our television like 6 months ago. We haven't turned it on since either.
Right.
It's seductive advertising, and it's designed to make you feel that you're not good enough. So you'll buy the products, do the procedures, whatever it is. They certainly don't uplift me, make me feel better. If you just notice when you see one, oh, maybe I should look like that. Oh, maybe I should do that. I'm going, I just don't even want to see them anymore. I don't buy into that anymore. I look in the mirror at me, and I'm going, what do I like, and what do I want to work on?
Wow.
And that's what I do.
Wow, so that's amazing. Actually, you know, it's funny because Joey Quality Legal actually had another comment that kind of dovetails off of what you just said. She said, it's the same thing with fast food. We don't like to lose, even 10 cents. We buy fast food because it is cheap and we feel we are winning. Then we eat all of it because if we do not, it feels as if we've just lost our hard-earned cash. Sorry. Worked in marketing and at an ad company. Knowledge of human psychology is needed to sell. Of course, this is just my perception of things.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah, I mean, there seems to be in the culture this idea that you are not allowed to like yourself, that if you do like yourself, you are delusional.
Or that it's a poisonous thought that if you like yourself, you're selfish. And I think it's okay to be selfish. I think you should be selfish enough to absolutely love yourself, because we're here to be happy. We're here to experience fun and happiness. I think that's what the purpose. That's the purpose of my life. And if I spend my time not loving myself, I'm not going to be happy, and I'm not going to be having much fun. And I just, you know, I just said, screw it. You know, and I go through my ups and downs. I have self-doubt sometimes. I'm still healing stuff from the past. But whenever I have those feelings, I ask myself, now, where did that come from? What incident? How far back can I think? Where did that I first feel that way? And I go, oh, that person, I was taught that. That's how I was taught to believe. And I'm going, I can let that go. I don't need to believe that anymore. And that's how you start to change it around. And just a few nights ago, I was feeling hurt or thinking like maybe somebody didn't love me the way I wanted to be loved or approve of me. And I just said, okay, you know, I was going through this all day, up and down, Catherine, it's your job to be happy. And happiness and feeling good is the only thing that's important. And that you don't feel happy and you are having negative emotions, they're just indicators that you're not aligned with something that you desire. So I said, I'm going to love myself. what would make me feel good, what would be a treat, what would be a gift. And I said, a prayer music and a hot bath would be a gift. I took myself into the bathroom, I put on my prayer music, and I got in the tub, and I started crying, and I put my arms around myself, and I said, I love you, baby, I love you. And,
aww,
you know, I just, you know, I had to give that to myself, and I have a deep hurt within me that I'm healing. It's, you know, come out in different layers throughout my life, and I do that all the time. It's like I give it to myself, and it's a process.
You actually have quite a few things that you do for yourself, and I think that some of our listeners might actually be interested in how a woman of 58 can feel so damn good about her body, and especially, I mean, what's amazing about this is that you say until the last year you haven't felt this way.
That's right.
So, you know, you say that you give your body what it needs for nourishment and nurturing. You only eat real food and you eat right for your blood type. Now, what blood type are you?
I'm A positive.
And what kind of, what is the proper diet for an A positive?
I don't know all of it off the top of my head. I can't, but what I know is mostly vegetarian and chicken and turkey. There are certain vegetables. What the Eat Right for Your Blood Type is, and it's called, the book is called Eat Right, the number four, your blood type. There's four blood types. And the premise behind it is that there are foods that are actually beneficial to your blood type. Then there's food that act like nutrition. And then there's food that act like poison in your body that actually will have you be more apt to arthritis and indigestion and just your body breaking down quicker, aging and inflammation and not working and not giving you the energy that you need. So I've practiced that over the past few months. My husband and I both do that over the past year or two. And it works for me. And I've totally changed how when I eat, it's about giving myself nutrition. It's not like it's feeling an emotional need, and
right.
I go, wow, that's enough. I don't need any more. What would be the purpose of eating anymore? I don't need any more. That's plenty. Like, and I like what I eat. So, and I love that I only eat real foods. I don't eat packaged foods.
Right.
And
right.
I feel so much better. I feel so much alive. I have more energy. I go for two or three walks a day when I'm working in my home office. I dance and I move every day. I listen to what I need, and like before I got on the show with you, I said, you know what, I need to get into my goddess self. I took a hot bath, and I relaxed, and I'm thinking about tonight. I'm thinking about tomorrow. I get to interview people for our business, and you know, I just start getting into myself. Whatever, I listen to what I need, and I do it.
Now, you said you also get colonics quarterly, so that would be, what, every 3 months you get a colonic?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, just do one or a series of three?
When I do it on a regular basis and the way I eat now, I don't even sometimes do them that often anymore.
Okay.
But colonics, if your digestive system isn't working right and you feel plugged up, go get colonic, get cleaned out. You'll feel so much better and get your diet on the right path. You know, check out that book I just mentioned. What have you got to lose to give it a shot and see if it works for you, you know?
Right.
I think taking care of your body is, and what I realized is the body is the temple of my soul. And that's why I'm so in love with it now. Because I've really I've touched my soul. I mean, I'm in touch with my soul. That's what it's all about, is to me it's like dishonoring it to treat it badly. Does that make sense?
Of course.
That's just how I see it. So I take my vitamins every day. I'm on hormone replacement therapy, and I see
now hormone replacement therapy. Are you taking bioidenticals or?
Yeah. And I just have an estrogen patch, and I take my Promethium, which is progesterone at night. It's all bioidentical. It's real easy. And so I've never had a hot flash, and I feel like I'm 35 years old. I have 30-year-old guys hitting on me.
Yes, you do. I watched it firsthand.
What?
No, at the conference that we went to, I said I watched them flirting with you, and I watched you flirting back. You know.
And I tell you, that makes me want to do it more. That makes me going, yes. I mean, who wouldn't feel good about that? And
I think one of the things that really struck me was just how you weren't embarrassed or self-conscious. I have almost started to think that as women age, they kind of start becoming a walking apology for the aging process.
Yep.
Like there's things about their body language and the way they dress and handle themselves that almost seem to say, I'm so sorry that I got older.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And to me, when I saw you interacting with other people at the conference, it just seemed like your body language said, yeah, I'm happy to be alive, and I feel sexy, and so I'm going to walk sexy, and it doesn't matter how old I am. You know, I'm just sexy and happy.
Yeah. Well, I try and listen to my urges, and I notice my mind wants to have me hold back. That's when I go forward. That's my practice. And an example of that is, like at the seminar, you know, I think my husband and I were the two people up dancing between, you know, the breaks when they had really good music on. You know, on the airplane, I was flying back and forth from L.A. on Tuesday. And
right.
I was listening to my music, and I just stood up in the aisle, and I moved a little bit, you know, because that's what I wanted to do.
Right.
And I pretty much just start dancing wherever I feel like it.
Wow. Well,
and so
what do you do when you start to, you say you come up against like that uncomfortable place and you move past that? How do you get past that?
Whatever it is that you're being afraid to do,
mm-hmm.
That's how you get past it. And it, you
so
know,
you're kind of like Nike,
myself.
Huh? Just do it?
Listen, I thought of that before they did. They saw that in my presence. I'm serious. I used to have this saying, so what? Keep moving, just do it. And I had it all over my bag. That's when I started to do art fairs over 30 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And I know somebody saw that and sold it to Nike. I just got to tell you that. But, yeah, so what? Just do it.
Just
and that's
do
how
it.
You start empowering yourself. You know, even if you just do it a little bit at first and then a little bit more, you start getting that confidence to just express yourself. And my husband's like that. He'll say what he wants to say, and he'll do what he wants to do whenever he feels like it. So he's a good role model for me, too.
Well, I just love the way you make love to yourself, metaphorically and literally. Here, I was reading some of your notes here. It says, I take hot baths. I touch myself or touch my body everywhere. Close your eyes and touch your body with love and tenderness, like being touched by a new lover, someone who's just wild about discovering your body. Hug yourself and say, I love you, baby. Masturbate guilt-free and as much as possible, and watch yourself in the mirror, too. I straddle my mirror and look at myself, doing it from every angle that I possibly can. I want to know what my partner sees when he's doing me. When I make myself come, I say to myself, this is just for you, baby, just for you, nobody else, only you. You deserve this, and here it is.
Yep.
That's very powerful and very bold.
Well, you know, I think you enjoyed reading that, Veronica.
I did. Don't you think I put a nice little sexy twist on it?
You did. Your voice is awesome. And I used to feel guilty about masturbating and hide about it. And, I mean, I thought I was the most horrible person in the world. I thought I was going to, you know, I was such a sinner. You know, we've all gone through guilt about it. Well, maybe not all of us, but, I mean.
Most of us
in Western
culture.
I'm amazed those are my words, too.
You what?
I said, I'm amazed those are my words, too, but that's what I do. And I just, you know, my husband has put up mirrors everywhere in our house. And you know what really started this? We were traveling. We were in Las Vegas at a hotel. And I woke up one morning, and there was this mirror right next to the bed. I hadn't really noticed it before. And
right.
I got up, and I just looked at myself, and I, you know, didn't have any clothes. And I just started spreading my legs and looking at my body. And I'm going, wow, I really look good. I really like what I see here. And so I just, you know, and then we were at another hotel and there was a mirror where I could see right behind me my whole body naked, and I could see it from facing the mirror I was facing. And I'm going, wow, I like having these mirrors. Number one, it tells me, you know, I have this image of what I thought I looked like from behind. And with the mirrors, it tells you the truth of what you look like. So it gave me the opportunity to go, I want to change that. I want to work on this. And so I use it as an indicator and a feedback for how I want to change my body and what I want to do. I love mirrors. Harry has put them up everywhere in our house.
But now, see, many women hate mirrors because what they see they don't love. But when you see things that you don't like, you love them anyway.
Yeah, I go, that's what I want to work on next. That's what I want to work on next.
But your approach is a very loving one.
Yes.
Do you ask your body, can you explain that a little bit? But you ask your body if it's available for an adventure or a journey?
Yeah, I ask, will you come with me on a journey? You know, will you be my partner? Will you come with me and on this exercise journey, on this love journey? Because look what you do for my body, how important you are for my body. And if we go on this journey, you're going to be able to do an even better job. You know, you are so valuable. You are so important. You're needed. I love you. So will you come on this journey with me? That's how I talk to my body. And my body is changing all the time because I'm doing this, and I'm touching myself like a new lover touches me, because that's how I'm going, wow, that's how I want to be touched. So now I can show my husband how to touch me that way. In fact, I just did that before I got on here. I go, touch me like you're my new lover, baby. Just touch me on my tummy. He goes, I'm good. I'm going, Harry, touch me now. So, you know, and, you know, I got to have it when I got to have it. That's all. It doesn't take long.
Well, that's great. Hormone replacement therapy must really be working. We've got another comment here from Ray Sunglau. He says the part of his body that he's self-conscious about is his arms. He says, I've always had thin wrists, and no matter how much I worked out, my wrists wouldn't change. At one point, I just stopped thinking about it. The best tip, be who you are. Don't compare yourself to anyone. Most people become self-conscious because they think people are paying attention to what they think their flaws are. Well, this may have been the case in high school. Believe it or not, no one notices our flaws, quote-unquote. No one, that is, except ourselves. We are our own worst critics. We can either kill ourselves wasting time and effort trying to be something we think people want us to look and be like, or accept who we are and realize that most people will accept us as we are.
I agree. I think he's a very smart man.
Yes, he is a smart man.
Very in tune with his force energy and loving himself. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's absolutely right. Nobody's paying attention. We are our worst critics.
Yeah.
And we just need to knock it off.
No, we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think a really important part of your message here is that the media is also our worst critic.
Yes,
so the fact that you are refusing to look at the magazines and refusing to listen to the television ads, I think is perhaps also a really vital part of your program.
It is. It's a vital part of what I do. I get more done, and I'm focusing on what I want to focus on. I listen to the things that are going to empower me. I listen to a lot of tapes and CDs and read books and of people who are doing something with their lives, and they're talking about transformation. That's what I'm into. I want to have to be better and do better as a person and be in touch with my source energy.
Absolutely. Listen, now let's make sure people, you know, I've posted this, but I want to make sure people know that your website is Catherine K. Strong. .wordpress.com. That's Catherine spelled K-A-T-H-R-Y-N. Catherine K. Strong. That's spelled like it's all one word, low caps, no caps. Catherine K. Strong.wordpress.com. And if you do happen to be my friend on Facebook, I've actually posted it with a little thumbnail from her blog on my wall. So you can find it pretty easily there.
Yes.
But you have got basically three events that helped you to love yourself out loud. And in the time that we have remaining, I'm wondering if you want to kind of give us a little rundown on what those three events were. Because, you know, there's nothing more healing than personal stories.
Right. I'd love to. First of all, I'd like to explain when your listeners go on my blog, sign up for my blog, and in the next 4 weeks, once a week, I'm going to be putting my four-step self-help healing process on there, and I'm inviting people to, you know, view the step, practice it for a week, and then come back the next week and get the next step.
And, fabulous.
You know, hopefully they'll get some benefit from that. And
great.
Wants to contact me, I'd be glad to support them in any way I can. So what really got the ball, some of the things that got the ball rolling in my life to for this process to unfold for me so powerfully, number one is that in 2005, like I already said, I got my surgery, and for me, just the boldness to step up to my husband, who basically thought having surgery was a sin, to do it anyway. And to, you know, it was me not being, I mean, I used to be so afraid of him being mad at me for any reason. And I just said, you know, this was the beginning of me allowing me to step into who I am and who I was becoming, and approval from an important person in my life or not. Does that make sense?
No, absolutely.
So the second thing was about 4 years ago, I was told I needed to have braces, and I put it on for, and I'd have to have them on for 2 years. Well, I put that off for as long as I could until my teeth started to chip. But then at 57 and a half, I had to get them because my teeth started to chip. And I said, oh, my God, I'm going to be the ugliest person in the whole world. And I decided, no, you know what, I'm not. I'm going to make this a two-year project because I'm almost 58. That was before my last birthday. And I said, I'm going to, by 60, I'm going to be the hottest, sexiest 60-year-old you have ever seen, and I'm going to, my braces are going to be a part of that. And what was awesome is that when I got my braces, not only was I not the ugliest person in the world, it supported me in, you know, keeping my weight down and changing how I ate a lot. But I looked like a teenager. People said I looked younger, and I actually, you know, feel and look younger. It blows my mind. I don't know. You know, but the third thing is right after I said I'm going to be the hottest, sexiest 60-year-old woman you've ever seen, I was in Hawaii on vacation, and the universe started to make that come true. A wave came up behind me and just slammed me down on my tailbone, and I injured myself pretty badly, but I didn't know it until about 4 months later. I woke up one day, and I couldn't walk. I was in so much pain I couldn't move. It took my husband 15 minutes to pry me out of bed and get me
through. Now, come on, this doesn't sound terribly sexy.
No, and I mean, I was at a place in what they wanted to do surgery on me. My husband said, no way. Thank God, because what happened is that got me into physical therapy because my core was weak. That's why I hurt myself so badly.
Oh.
And also I said I'm going to lose 5 pounds because that'll take some weight pressure off my back. And that's what had me start changing my diet. And I loved it so much I kept eating that way and I kept losing weight. And
awesome.
I felt better. Plus the physical therapy now got me into weightlifting. And now I do the Peaceful Warrior workout. And I'm going to start my Brazilian bum butt lifting workout. And so those things really got the ball rolling for me. And not to mention getting attention from 30-year-old guys was pretty motivating, too. And I'm 58. Hello, I used to hide my body and not let myself be sexy. I'm in a different world. I'm a different person. I'm ecstatic. Who wouldn't be?
What do you think is the most beautiful person
in the world. I'm just having a great time.
So what do you think is, you know, like if people listening here might actually be a little bit confused and wonder, well, is it because, is she feeling better about herself because she had plastic surgery, or is she feeling better about herself
because she looks
in the mirror and makes love to herself? You know, why does this woman feel better about herself?
Well, you know what, Veronica, after the surgery that I had, I maintained it for 2 years, and like I said, I gained the weight back. Well, my husband has pictures of us from Hawaii that year that I fell on my tailbone, and this year we went to Hawaii, and I had the same swimsuit on. When I walked down the beach, people's heads turned, and I'm not saying that to brag or anything. I was shocked. I'm shocked at how people look at me, and that's not who I used to be, and it's not because of the surgery, because I gained that weight back. I gained about 15 to 20 pounds of that weight back, and I just lost it this year, this past year. But the surgery kind of got me ahead of the game. But when I gained that weight back, I felt horrible about myself. I started to get my lumps and bumps back again. And I don't feel like I look that way because of my surgery. I've even lost about 20% or more of my boobs, believe it or not. I never had huge boobs. The doctor I went to, I did a lot of, and this is what I would suggest for your listeners, anyone who's suggesting or considering doing that. The woman I went to, Dr. Lauren Greenberg in Palo Alto, she specialized, and I researched this, she specialized in looking natural, and she wouldn't work with anybody who wanted, like, really big boobs and didn't look proportionate. She wouldn't do them. So I felt really comfortable and confident with her, and I've gotten so many compliments from doctors and nurses doing my mammograms. They're going, wow, those look so natural and so real. If I had a woman say to me, if I thought a boob job could look like that, I'd go get it done. So my boobs, yes, maybe, but the rest of my body, it's because I'm working out and I've changed my diet. So.
Okay, so that's why your body looks a certain way, and so is it just because your body looks a certain way that you're feeling better about yourself?
Well, Veronica, you and I both saw, well, let me put it this way. I've seen women with plastic surgery who look like they have plastic surgery. And I've seen women who've had a lot of work done. And it's, for me, it's not about the work I've had done. It's the energy and that's coming out of me because of how I feel about myself. Because I feel good within my body, and I never did before. But you can have, like I said, you can have just about anything done you want to your body. But if you don't feel good about yourself and you aren't alive and happy inside, that's the energy that's going to come out. And I think the energy is what has it really show up. Because I didn't experience this when I first had my surgery at all.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't experience it till this past year. And my surgery was 5 years ago.
Right. So again, the main way that you shift that energy as far as you're concerned is by going back and finding the programming from your childhood and trying to reboot your system, as it were, with new software?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think the first thing to do is just, if people can just start noticing the tiny little ways and places that we deny ourselves that, well, I can't be that, or I can settle, I don't need this thing, it's not that important. You know what? Give yourself what you desire. Let yourself have it and just notice the thoughts that you're having that you don't, because every time you deny yourself of those little things, you die a little bit. That's my experience. And when I started going, you know what? That does matter, and I'm going to give that to myself. In fact, regarding my business even, if I don't have time to exercise and to take care of myself and nurture myself, I don't even want to have my business. I'm not going to let that come first. My nurturing comes before anything. That's how I am now, because I know how important that is. If I'm not taken care of, you know, it doesn't matter. I can be successful and have money. It doesn't matter to me. I am so, that's what makes me happy, is not denying myself. Does that make sense?
It absolutely does. Now, that's very difficult for a lot of people, though. They really feel like they have got to put the business first or the kids first, or, you know, and that becomes the big lament. I don't have time to take care of myself. You know, I'm too busy pay the bills.
Yeah, well, we need to start telling a different story about all that. And instead of going, yeah, we all have the reasons why we can't. I've had them too. You need to start saying, how can we? And making it a priority, making it matter. And, you know, your kids will be okay if you give them 1 hour less attention during the day, or take yourself on a date once a week. That's what I'm going to...
Now, explain that. That was another thing that caught my eye there. Take yourself on a date. What would that look like?
Well, you know what? I haven't done it yet, but it's something I just said I'm going to start doing. I don't know, go out and take a bus and meet people. Go to some place you like to go, either to a movie, to a museum, whatever you would be interested in doing, but do it by yourself. And it's kind of like checking out who you are in the world without, it's something that I'm interested in doing. I want to know who I am in the world without my husband all the time, because we're together all the time.
Oh, and so you're actually talking about taking yourself out on a date, just like you make love to yourself. You talk to yourself in the mirror, look at yourself in the mirror. You're going to also just go someplace with you.
Yeah, like Catherine, what would you like to do? Where would you like to go? And what do you think, not having someone else's influence around all the time? Not that their influence isn't important to you, but, you know, your influence is important. And I feel like I think that's important to get to know yourself and who you are if you're in a situation where you're not in touch with that a lot.
I think it's excellent. What do you think you're going to do for your first date with yourself?
Well, I'll probably go to the Commonwealth Club because I want to be around public speakers and meet people. Like, that's one of the things I want to do. I might just go for a long bike ride and spend the day, take my own picnic or something like that, you know. I might go have a spa day. I might go hang out with a girlfriend and do something that we've never done before. Because I don't take the time to be with my friends very much, and so that would be something fun for me to do.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Well, I can tell you, let's see, would this qualify as a date, though? Because I've really been wanting to go see my acupuncturist and also take a Pilates class.
Mm-hmm.
But would that really be a date, or wouldn't that just be another to-do thing?
You can make it whatever you want. Sometimes my husband and I make it a date when we go to Safeway, you know. Let's have the date. We hold hands while we're walking down the aisle. You can make it anything you want. The other thing I want to do is I want to find a tantric dance movement class of some kind. And just, you know, get into my body more that way, too.
Now, have you taken any tantra?
No, I haven't.
Oh.
Have you?
Oh, yes. I had my first fire breath orgasm about 20 years ago. I took a fire breath orgasm class from a woman named Jawala. I think she's relocated to Hawaii now.
Mm-hmm.
But she's a tantric teacher, or they call them dakinis.
Mm-hmm.
And fire breath orgasm, you learn how to contract your PC muscles and breathe rhythmically to evoke a very, very special orgasm that kind of bypasses your genitals. It just goes from the base of your spine out the top of your head.
Ooh, I want to learn how to do that.
Yeah, and you don't even touch yourself.
Yeah.
You're fully clothed.
Yeah.
And you have no partner.
Yeah, I have a friend who can do that, and she's explaining it to me, but I didn't get it. So I think that's why she's got me interested in doing those classes.
Yeah. It's amazing. And I've also taught a lot of tantric conferences and with other tantric teachers. So I work with tantric energy in a lot of my classes, but I do not consider myself a tantric teacher because there's a lot of things that I still don't know how to do that well.
Right.
But
certainly you got more interested in it.
Oh, it's just, for me, it opens up the whole other aspect of what sex is.
Mm-hmm.
Because people usually think of sex as being something either about procreation or lovemaking, bonding, and I actually see sex as the center of all cellular life. This is where the breath and the creativity and the spark of life all comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And so when spring comes, I see sex in everything, you know, the flowers,
mm-hmm.
the mating calls of the birds.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that we love here on planet Earth, the food that we eat, it's all sex. You know, when you go slice into a vegetable, you are slicing into a mature sex organ because that's the procreation. They were getting ready to spread their seed.
Mm-hmm. Wowie zowie.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is the center of life. There is no life without it.
Mm-hmm.
And breath, tantric breath, it just, you know, it's amazing when you realize that you can have this sexual thing without even having genitals. There's
I know when my friend told me about it, I'm going, I want to do that, so
yeah.
I'm going to do that. That would be a good date for me.
Yeah. Have you already found a tantric teacher?
No. If you know of any, pass it on to me.
I will. You know, I'll post something up on Facebook, too, for the listeners.
I just want to remind everybody to, you know, log onto my blog and get that four-step self-healing process if this sounds interesting to them, because I really want to support people, men and women, and really being more in touch with themselves and reprogramming and letting go of those excuses and letting go of what's in their way. So I'm hoping that I can contribute to people that way.
Well, and this is a good time, actually, to talk a little bit about your services so that people know what it is that you provide and the maybe a couple different reasons why they might want to contact you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do coaching, one-on-one and group coaching, but, you know, I'm interested in people getting the steps to do this so that they can have control of their lives again and what they want to do in their lives. And if you aren't happy with yourself, if things aren't showing up the way you want them in your life, you know, you can do something about it. That's the main thing that I want to share with people.
Okay. And so you actually do coaching with this is over the phone, in person, what?
All of the above. I do public speaking. I'm writing a book, my first book, and I'll be done with it in June.
Now, what's your book about?
It's about what we've been talking about. It's about loving yourself out loud, and it's about changing your... It's about diet and exercise, and that's putting it in a... There's a lot more to it rather than just diet and exercise. It's the spiritual and mind and body connection. Does that make sense? It's all got to work together.
It absolutely does. That,
yeah.
That, by the way, is a very tantric concept, so...
Maybe that's why I'm ready for it.
I think it is. I think
yes.
Tantra is about the whole. So they can contact you via your blog and get those four free steps.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want them to email you or call you?
If they have questions and if they feel from the information I'm giving them that they can help me, that I can help them or support them anyway, absolutely. I'd be glad to help anyone who wants to take the first step and practice for the week. I'd be glad to help anyone on the phone or by email. They can email me and help them, you know, practice that first week and get through it and see, you know, any way I can support them. Because the process, if you've never done the things that are in this process, like taking how to reframe your thinking and, like, because when you haven't done any work like that, it's amazing how many negative thoughts you have, one right after the other, right after. I mean, and it's like the water you swim in. You don't even see them until you start noticing them. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes.
That I would love to support people in working through that, because that's the stuff, the yucky stuff that's holding us back. And we want to get that out of our space.
How would they contact you via email or phone? How would you like them to do that?
Email me and I'll contact them. They can email me on my blog, and I'll get in touch with them.
Oh, okay. Did you want to leave the email address over the radio here?
Well, sure. They can email me from my blog. They can leave a message on my blog that they want me to contact them, and I will.
Oh, okay. Do you have one of those forms?
My email address. It's kkstrong@aol.com. No problem.
Well, that's
and
good.
My phone number is 510-769-9225, and I'd be glad to support anyone in any way I can.
Fabulous.
I love doing it.
For the listeners, but be sure and go check out her her blog. Why don't you give that address to them one more time?
It's kathryngstrong.wordpress.com.
And I got to tell you guys, one of the joys for me is the pictures that you'll see, because she's very beautiful and she's walking down the beach, and I think the beauty that speaks loudest to me really is just the confidence that you exude.
Well, thank you.
It's you know, because there's lots of people that may have what we consider a picture perfect body, but if you don't know how to move in a way that's sexy, you don't really love your body, For me, it doesn't work. It may work for other people, but for me, it really falls flat. And you don't. You are
just
so vibrant. You're so vibrant, and you know, your body language really communicates that you are, in fact, only 35.
Wow. And this is on tape, right? So I can hear that again.
Yes, you can.
You're the best, Veronica. You are the best. Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine. You've been a lot of fun. And very very informative and inspiring, and I hope our listeners got the things that they wanted and needed tonight. But you know what? If they didn't, they can go over to your website and contact you and get more.
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
Thank you so much for having me. I had so much fun.
No problem. We'll have you back on when you get ready to promote that new book.
Was it good for you?
I'm sorry, what?
It was good for me. Was it good for you?
Oh, yeah, especially
thank
reading
you.
Your erotic poetry there.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm not sure you meant it as erotic poetry, but that's how it came out. I hope you put that in the book, okay?
Yeah.
You got to put that in the book.
I will.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Catherine, I'm going to have you back when you get ready to promote your book, okay?
Fabulous, fabulous.
All right, thank you so much. Blessings.
Okay, same to you. Mwah.
Mwah.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you liked what you heard and you want more solutions for your love life, please call me toll-free at 888-903-0050. Once again, that number is 888-903-0050. I am the only person who answers that line, and I am usually available Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also visit sexwithoutshame.com to discover more of what I can do for you. And remember, your secret is safe with me. Yeah.